One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Alex. And welcome back to On Air, coming to you live from Seoul, South Korea. Dan, great to be with you in South Korea.
Hello. Look at us. Look at this. This is really started from the bottom. Now we're here because the transformation from episode one. True. I mean, we've done some video episodes, but this is just the ultimate evolution of that. Yeah. So
here we are.
Yeah, I'm excited.
A podcast studio in Seoul, in South Korea, one of our favorite countries. We have been having fun the last few days. Some work and then some fun after, but it has been really good to be in one of our favorite countries.
Yeah.
I love Korea, and I know that you've spent so much time here as well.
Exactly. Loyal podcast listeners might remember the last time you and I were together was in Paris.
True.
Last summer for the Riyadh Air fashion reveal,
yep.
Which I cannot believe it's been that long since we saw each other in person.
Like that. I think because we basically catch up every week.
Exactly.
Along with all the listeners.
Yeah. And basically, even when we're together, it's just another podcast episode.
Yeah, really long episode.
Yeah.
Like conversations all day. Yeah. Poor anyone that has to just hear us all day.
Yeah, literally. So Oscar's been nice enough, now that we've been here, to sit in the front seat, let us just sit and bitch in the back. And then as he sits facing forward.
Did you see what Lufthansa did? Did you see what Southwest did?
Literally. We'll get to that later. But he literally says as he's facing forward, it sounds like he's listening to On Air. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, look, we are so pleased that we're able to do the episode here in Seoul from a very nice studio together. It has been an interesting few days, not least because of what we have been in town for. And so we're going to discuss today everything to do with the significant celebratory event and reveal from Korean Air, which of course is why we are both in Seoul together. We'll come to you with all of the tea as to what went down at the event, what this means. We've got a couple of little exclusives as well. And then, of course, later we'll move into some other headlines that have been going around in the sector. Air France, KLM won a little bit of Air Europa. Now that IAG are done with them. And Southwest have pulled perhaps the most shocking move in the history of U.S. commercial aviation.
They want your bag money.
Right, that's understandably sent shockwaves because, I mean, why else was anyone flying Southwest if it wasn't to check in the bags for free? So
and
we'll
the fun,
come to that.
The fun crew on Southwest.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. We were super delighted to both have been invited to a significant event in this, what is a new era, they hope, for Korean Air, following the $1.3 billion acquisition of the two-thirds stake in Asiana, the other major South Korean carrier. And the two operate alongside each other here in Seoul, actually sometimes even departing at exactly the same time, right?
Yeah, it's literally crazy. If you look at Seoul to LA, for example, or Seoul to Bangkok, busy markets from here, Korean Air and Asiana are the perfect example of that. If you're setting up a store on the beach, where do you set it up? Right next to the other store in the middle. So they both just compete directly, kind of like Japanese airlines,
yeah,
which we don't see that much in the West. But if you have a Korean Air flight at 9:50 a.m. to LA, there's an Asiana flight at 9:45 a.m. So
yeah,
it will be really interesting after the merger to see how they deal with their scheduling. Will we still see two flights departing almost at the same time?
Yeah.
Maybe due to slots at some airports, yeah, like Heathrow?
I mean, this is going to be one of the greatest, and I don't mean greatest as in complimentary, I'm saying one of the most significant, and by its, the magnitude, mergers in the history of commercial aviation, not least for commercial aviation in as fierce a continent as Asia.
Yeah.
And to see these two big legacy carriers with so much history, ultimately over the next few years, Asiana will pretty much cease to exist as a brand, from what we understand, and it will all be Korean Air. And that is what has given them this kind of motive to, it's time to change. It's time to do something. It's time to really elevate for passengers, not in a way that we always hear, but in a way that is really, really, you know, I mean, a requirement at this point. Because what did we hear yesterday? That the menus have not been changed on board Korean Air in something like 15 years.
Yeah, we'll get to the event yesterday in a second, but we just have to give some context here because Korean Air and Asiana operate in an incredibly tough market.
Yeah.
We've spoken before on the podcast about how Seoul is, although it's a wealthy place, it's sort of a low-yield market, especially at the moment.
Yeah.
Fares are low, even on Asiana and Korean Air.
Super
on long-haul
low.
Routes.
Even on foreign carriers,
yes,
if the ticket begins from Seoul. Yeah.
Especially on foreign carriers. But then, you know, to the east, they have Japanese airlines that are known worldwide for their incredible quality, ANA, JAL. Then to the west, they have Chinese airlines that are not so much known for their incredible quality, but for their incredibly low fares.
Yeah. So, dumping capacity everywhere.
Exactly.
Able to shuttle Aussies to and from Europe for a quarter of what it costs to go on a Gulf carrier. I mean, they're really, really causing headaches.
And sort of, I just thought about this, last but not least, down south, just 2 hours south, they have Taiwan, which they're sort of in this in-between spot where they have incredibly premium airlines, but because of the fact that there are three competing global premium airlines at one hub, they also need to compete very fiercely on price. So I don't envy the geographic competitive position of the new merged Korean Air in that sense.
It's going to be a monumental task. It has been a monumental task thus far. The last time I was here in South Korea, I met the Minister of Transport at the time.
Right.
And he was saying to me how, you know, it was just a completely not, I mean, he was less positive about it because he was just saying that the sheer number of headaches that they were trying to overcome, regulatory, you know, organizational, logistically, everything, he said, it was just proving to be such a mammoth task. I can't really recall seeing a merger as significant of this and of that size than perhaps since the LAN and TAM days in South America, when LAN of Chile and TAM of Brazil became what is today a thriving oneworld carrier, LATAM.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And by the way, the interesting thing is that the fleet sizes of both of these airlines are not quite, you know, if you look at the US, you get a bit of fleet dysmorphia because the airlines have such massive fleets. And again, we're going to discuss Southwest later because that's one of those that every time I see the size of their fleet, I'm like, what? How is this possible? That little Southwest.
They're not even hubbed, are they?
Exactly.
They continue around.
Yeah, it's actually crazy. So these airlines, although they don't have the biggest fleet, they have a huge number of wide-body aircraft, which, you know, here in Asia in general, there's a bigger emphasis on those aircraft due to more population density, etc. But now let's get to what we experienced last night at this reinvention of Korean Air.
Yeah, so what was it? What were they calling it on the invitation? It was Korean Air Rising Night.
Rising Night,
And it was this whole kind of, they were building suspense. So it's the first major rebrand since 1984. As we said, the menus themselves haven't been changed in 15 years. And the rebrand is going to overhaul its corporate identity. That does mean the iconic, classic Korean Air livery is essentially no more, and we'll come to that. But you and I arrived for the event around 6:30 local
in style,
time here,
as always, yeah,
by taxi. And where was it? It was at Gimpo Airport.
Yes.
So, but we heavy traffic there, but a good time to kind of prepare as to what our expectations were, what we wanted to speak about with the executive or the senior management. Beautifully arranged. Hats off to the team. They had over 1,000 guests. They were managing guests that were politicians. They were managing other airline stakeholders. They were managing K-pop stars, boy bands, actors and actresses that were all around us. And we were kind of whispering and nudging our Korean friend like, who is it? You
know? Yeah.
followers?
I mean, huge hats off to them, because somehow we felt like we were VIPs at this event. And we know for a fact that pretty much everyone felt that way.
And so I think they had really, and that's the beauty of the warmth of Korean culture, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's what we've been enjoying soaking up over the last few days and every time that we're here. So we were taken in by the lovely team members of Korean Air, who were all really excited for this evening. And they all looked great as well, super ready for what was clearly going to be quite an extra or extravagant night. And it was. And shortly after we arrived, the whole thing started. The lights go low. We see these incredible graphics. Quite impressed with the video. Because the other part is, let's be real for a minute, right? If anyone has experienced perhaps an older aircraft on Korean Air, in economy, let's say, maybe your perception is that this is quite a clunky airline, quite a dated airline in some areas. And so what was nice is that the event yesterday gave me a million different hints of the direction, at least, that they are trying to follow.
Yeah.
The graphics were state of the art. The event itself was state of the art. No expense spared whatsoever in trying to send a clear message to the aviation sector that we are here as a whole new Korean Air, or they hope.
Yeah, they're not here to play. That was the message. But it was very 2025 Korean tech. So it starts with several speeches. The first few were in Korean, so we were just like, smile and wave, boys, smile and wave.
Do that well.
Yeah, exactly. Then we had a speech from David Pacey, VP of In-Flight Experience at Korean Air, which was fascinating.
Well, but before you come to David's speech, the only bit they did properly translate for everyone of the CEO's speech, a CEO of Korean Air, was that his mandate was clear.
Mm.
What was the mandate?
The mandate is to make Korean Air the most loved airline in the world, which...
The world's most loved airline. That's the goal. That's what he took. When he said that, everyone was cheering and a whole load of applause. And they were really, it's an interesting one. The world's most loved airline. That is the goal. Do you think a European airline would have concluded that in a recent boardroom meeting?
No way. They'd be like, we want to have the world's preferred pretzel in our lounge.
We want to be the world's most...
sustainable, they say. That's the one thing they all want to be, which is
We want to be the most flexible by being able to offer travelers 10 different fare buckets that don't include lounge access anymore.
We are the airline that listens the most to our customers.
Oh, God, the red flag at the moment, any airline says that.
Based on customer feedback, we are devaluing our award program.
Yeah.
Anyway.
British Airways entered the chat.
Yeah. But just seeing that was incredibly exciting, because it shows a level of ambition that we haven't seen from Korean Air in our lifetimes.
Yeah, and it was fresh. I mean, ambition is good. It's fresh. It's, just a few years ago, these were airlines that were in countries that were the most locked down, or rather feeling the most significant impact. And South Korea handled the pandemic very, very well, but some of the neighbors here were like, oh, we didn't hear from them for years.
literally. So after the speeches, we get a breathtaking performance that was Squid Games meets Rihanna Super Bowl halftime show.
It was like the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was, again, Korean level of dancing and performance, which is always top-notch. And then the curtains fall to reveal the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. Because
but what is the most beautiful thing you've ever seen in your life? Because right now, the listeners will be thinking, is he talking about the livery?
Well, right now I need to say Oscar, but...
Okay, go on.
Anyway, the thing is, The curtains fall.
Right.
And we see a 787-10. This is the first time in my life I've been at a nighttime event like this where there's 100 spotlights lighting up every angle of what is already a beautiful plane in any lighting.
Yeah.
But just in this dramatic context, I think they could have had any livery on that aircraft and we would have been blown away. You know?
And I told you, I said to you, don't be fooled. The lighting at these kind of events, and you know I've been to so many of them.
Yeah.
The lighting is everything because they...
As it is in life.
As it is across the world, across society and across your daily life. But lighting, it was done in such a way that the aircraft looked extra impressive. So before we were even taking in the livery, I mean, you saw the reaction. Everyone was cheering again and clapping. Everyone loves a commercial aircraft.
Yeah.
In a close proximity environment, in a party, yes.
Yeah.
With beautiful lighting everywhere and blue lighting and K-pop stars. And yeah. I mean, it was, yeah.
And of course, we should mention that everyone at the event had already seen the livery the day before when it happened to leak.
It leaked. I felt bad for them that it leaked.
As the aircraft was landing, positioning to Gimpo
to be
at the event. Yeah. But
they tried to do it under the cover of darkness, but... What wasn't it? You said to me it was
like 10:30 p.m. It needs to be 4 a.m. for that to work. But anyway, in that lighting, it looked like a completely different livery.
Yeah.
Of course, you will draw comparisons. There's, you know, inspiration being drawn from everything from KLM to TUI, with even a sprinkle of Norse Atlantic in there.
Who knew Norse could influence anything?
Yeah, literally. But as with any new livery,
yeah,
there will be people who love it, people who hate it.
I mean, I've got my screen in front of me now, okay? The left side, 15 positive comments. People are saying it's an elegant, much-needed refresh. Someone says it brings it in line into 2025. Others say that it looks sleek and they like the billboard and the new fonts. Then I come over to the right side of my screen and people are not happy.
Yeah.
They say that they have ruined an iconic livery. They say, where the hell is the red part of the livery?
Which we agree with.
Yeah. And we do agree that's needed. And a lot of people saying that it looks too European. Why are they following this simplistic route? They should embrace their culture. There should be more. So as with any livery reveal, it's either love or hate. I haven't actually seen any comments that are middle ground.
No, but has there ever been a new airline livery where the whole world agrees, this is beautiful, I love it? It's rare. I don't really think it's been the case.
Because even the beautiful ones I'm thinking, no, people still had complaints about that.
Yes.
I get shocked when there's like a livery that I really like and then I hear someone saying a negative comment, you just think, wow, it really is personal choice. I mean,
exactly.
It's like food.
I think the one category of liveries that at least Av Geek agrees are amazing are retro liveries.
Yeah, that's true.
Because
except my twin sister Demi, she did not like it when we flew the BEA livery. She thought it was an aircraft from BEA, so she thought that aircraft was about 100 years old.
Poor Demi.
It's a retro thing. That's why. Why did they do that?
Oh my god. Yeah, poor Demi. But that's why I prefaced with Av Geeks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Outside of the aviation sector, I think it's not understood.
And I also. Okay, now we're going off on a tangent, but I always wonder what a normal person thinks when they pull up to the airport.
Me too.
And they see an aircraft looking like it's from 1970, you know?
I think initially they think it's an aircraft from 1970.
Yeah.
I don't think any member of the public outside of the aviation sphere pulls up on a bus on a remote stand and says, oh, look, British Airways have decided to pay respect to a previous livery, 1982.
Yeah.
They've painted our Airbus A320 with it.
Because to normal people, even the concept of liveries are not really a thing.
Yeah.
As long as it looks
fine. You mean the logo?
Yeah. Anyway, so Korean Air obviously has not done that. Although, you know, Korean Air putting that out there, let's have some retro liveries would be really cool.
Yeah. We don't know how fast they're going to roll out this new branding, right? But there's a comment we have on that. If last night is anything to go by, this is going to be fast. So I'll come to that now. But basically, we have the new logo and new livery. The logo, of course, features on the livery, and that's the kind of the text part. We received gifts, for example, last night's event, and the gift bags are all updated. The lovely. Did you notice that?
What? On the gift?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. But yeah. We're kind of skipping back and forth in time now. There's just the crazy thing is that, and this is again Korean efficiency. We pull up to the event.
This is what I was gonna say. Yeah. Okay,
it's Korean Air HQ. This is mad. Looks familiar. We leave the event 3 hours later.
Wait, while we are in
the
event, the workmen are outside the headquarters with ladders. And while we're in the event and we're like, they were serving caviar, we were being shown the products inside the aircraft, we were looking at the tableware, we're mingling with all the Koreans. Outside, they're hard at work because the reveal had just been done 5 minutes before. They take down the old Korean Air sign on the building in two locations, one of them ridiculously high, and the new one is already up. As we're walking out, we were like, that's a funny time for maintenance, right? And then we're like avoiding the ladders. It's a bit funny, isn't it? Yeah. This is the entrance for the event, and they've decided there's urgent maintenance. Like, we look up.
And then we see someone carrying an N up the ladder, and we go, oh.
Like, don't tell me that N is the Korean part of the logo. And then, I mean, wow, Korean efficiency.
It was actually crazy, and this is not a small little hand-painted logo.
No,
this is like
massive.
A Times Square billboard.
Well, the N that he was carrying was like half the size of his body.
Yeah.
And that was the smaller one. What about the one in the top right
exactly.
of the building?
So at the very top, like 100 meters in the air.
We didn't even see that until we got in the car.
Yeah, they replaced it. And it's one of those that's backlit. So somehow in 3 hours, they managed to replace a backlit
that's
logo,
incredible.
Which I don't understand. But efficiency, again.
Yeah.
Now
Europe. Listening.
We're looking at you.
Yeah.
But there are some more important things than changing the logo, which we also got some intel on.
Yeah,
so
they
had this 787-10 at the airport, and we even got to step on board.
This was fun, inside the hangar at the event.
What did you think of getting to step on board?
So first time for me on Korean 787.
Yeah.
Have been on other Korean aircraft, including when Korean took delivery of their A380s from Airbus. And by the way, two forgotten A380 operators, I feel, in the mainstream conversation. We do mention them quite a bit, but it is amazing how they just kind of keep calm and carry on with their 380s and get very little mention of that.
Yeah.
In terms of, I don't know, they're just not so present on socials. But the stepping on board, nicely designed cabin, very nice business class.
Yeah.
In terms of comfort, everything that you want. If you're sitting in the middle, it is the couple's seat that ultimately forms a Q-suite-like double bed.
Yeah.
You have decent privacy, although I think you were telling me that the doors are not certified on the
not
suites.
Yet.
Not
so
yet.
So we asked for a timeline.
Soon.
They said it's, quote, tentative. So
right, okay.
We don't know, but obviously they're hoping
screen
to get
them. Size, great, but perhaps a little too close.
Well, this is what I noticed on the Cathay Aria suite, that a lot of seats... I don't quite know how this works, but I feel like airlines are condensing cabins in from front to back, let's say.
They're reducing the size
the pitch.
Of... Well, they're reducing the pitch, assuming you're sitting like I am now in a chair, but focusing a lot on bed length.
Yes, that was my point.
But they make up for that by being able to reduce this and increase the size under the TV.
Yes.
I mean, I just butchered how I explained that.
So basically what you have is a huge storage surface to your side in most of these seats.
Yeah.
Which is bigger than it would have been before, because that's where the passenger behind you is putting half their body as they sleep.
And that's how the industry has changed, because previously it's where it was the footwell, right?
Yes.
Where your feet
it was
and,
only
and ankles
your feet under there.
Were, right? Like ankle and below.
Yeah.
And now it's like airlines have figured out, or rather the seat manufacturers have figured out, we can get half their bodies
literally
under there. And then
on Finnair, it's basically almost your head is under there in the air lounge peeking out. But it's a very comfortable seat for sleep. So
yeah.
I'm not
complaining. But it'd be claustrophobic if too many airlines adopt this thing. So we noticed that. That was something. They are launching all new in-flight experience as part of this massive overhaul. And that, as I said, is much needed because the menu hasn't been changing God knows how long. So we've got new amenity kits from Graf, very, very premium designer. I like the brand a lot.
Yeah.
It's super high-end luxury, and I think a very nice choice for Korean Air to go for graph there. New bedding, which they very kindly have gifted us the blanket duvet part. Yeah. So that's very nice. That was the take-home gift for everyone, not just us, which was looked comfortable.
1,000 blankets just poof.
Yeah, with the new branding and the new logo.
Yeah.
Oh, they went to town for this event. They really did.
Yeah.
This reminded me of a pre-COVID event. Mm. There's not many airlines that have done this kind of thing post-COVID.
Yeah.
Despite them having more money than ever. I think there's just that greed and that.
Now they're all struggling. We're concerned about our economic outlook where, you know, demand is unstable. No, I mean, yes, they are. But at the same time, it's like we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. They all say that and then they post record profits. So
and this is a trend that I'm seeing in the industry. When I'm looking at the different financial results that are coming forward, they aren't being as, you know, none of them want to admit that, because also, if they were to admit that they are making so much of their expectations so great, there is this growing pressure now to share that, rightfully so,
with
the staff, right? As crew bonus or staff bonus.
Mm-hmm.
And almost all major airlines now expect this. Previously, there wasn't as much expectation.
Yeah.
So airlines are kind of playing down what that,
Exactly, which we know Korean Air just did, 500% bonus.
Yeah.
So also, besides the amenity kits, we have new tableware, stuff like that. This, you know, I was thinking yesterday
from
at the
Armani.
Yeah,
so they're bringing in the brands in business,
and something even nicer in first.
Yeah,
but this sort of brought me to a question I ask myself a lot when I record my reviews: is this okay? This is the soft product, the food, the bedding, the tableware. But ultimately, I always say there's two different camps an airline can be in. They can be a fun airline that goes more in the direction of Virgin Atlantic or Finnair, which I find enjoyable. Even Emirates, I feel, is more in that direction. Or they can go luxury, like Qatar Airways, Etihad.
Singapore.
Yeah, maybe Air France on a European sort of standard. So here we have Korean Air obviously trying to go toward luxury. But the big thing they left out, which we know Koreans are amazing, but a huge part of that is service training, service layout.
There wasn't much mention.
Not at all.
You're right. There was no mention, for example, of the redesign of the service itself.
Yes.
Which is much overdue.
Exactly. And I think a lot of Westerners flying Korean Air, or actually, in fact, a lot of non-Koreans who don't quite understand Korean service culture, don't understand the service because it's very Korean-centric. So not necessarily proactive, but in every Korean restaurant, you have a button to call a server. On an aircraft, you have a crew call bell. So a crew member will come in a few seconds, but it's not the same proactive nature, crew passing through the aisle all the time that you'll find on some other airlines.
There are a lot of people that are actually scared to press that call button. Like, they just think that, oh, that's... It's many passengers that think that's there for example,
an emergency.
Worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what U.S. cabin crew want you to think. So there's some training there. And yeah, of course, it's used differently in different cultures. Like, remember when I told you, what airline was that? Where it was like 10 seconds after liftoff and the crew go, please repeatedly push the crew call bell and we'll come, like dirt while the seatbelt sign is still on. If you need anything, please press the crew call bell repeatedly until one of us come.
Which is insane.
Crazy. I think it was somewhere in Asia, but I actually
forgot. Design element is something that the redesign element of the service
is
something that's required. Well, how about we now go into what we heard from David?
Yes.
So David Pacey is the
VP of in-flight experience at Korean Air.
And he spoke to us to help us better understand why now Korean Air is deciding to put in all the effort. What is it that they're hoping to be able to get out of this? Well, we put that to David. Let's have a listen to what he said.
Actually, the mandate I was given was Qatar, Emirates, Etihad, SQ, Korean Air. Those are the five, okay? And wow, we would be honored to be mentioned with those airlines. This is now, okay, we're launching our in-flight menus. Our next step is totally transforming our lounge experience. As I see that coming to fruition, I'm very excited about it.
What a quote, huh?
Wow. So they want a seat at the top table with the big boys.
Very ambitious. Again, love to hear it. The question is, how do they do this? And, you know, one of the biggest, I guess, I don't want to say disappointments, but I was expecting now with their great business class seat on the 787-10, all this, you know, promise and investment in the soft product, I was hoping to hear investments in the hard product, because Korean Air on most of its fleet has a great business class seat, but Asiana, who they're acquiring, not so much.
I mean, they don't.
So, yeah. So we asked David, can we expect to see Asiana aircraft being reconfigured? Can we expect to see older Korean Air aircraft be reconfigured with this new seat? The answer was, we haven't decided that, which I think, you know, step one, although soft products is incredibly important,
yeah,
to be a premium airline, there needs to be a minimum standard for your seats, at least the seats used on long-haul routes. It's one thing within Asia.
Yeah.
Many airlines, even Singapore Airlines, has a completely different seat on these routes compared to long-haul. But to have, let's say, 2 or 3 years down the line, one frequency to New York, a 14, 15-hour flight, being on a, you know, brand new Korean Air seat with a door and a beautiful flashy cabin, or an Asiana A350, which,
right,
although the A350 is amazing, Asiana,
the cabin is not.
Yeah.
And I was on the delivery of Asiana's first A350-900 from Airbus.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I had been into an A350 and thought, is this an A350?
Yeah.
Because up until that point, all of the deliveries that I'd been a part of were airlines showing the latest and greatest seat models, their customizations, the bespoke products, everything that they put into investing. If you're going to get a state-of-the-art aircraft, you usually match it with a state-of-the-art product. Well, Asiana's was not.
Exactly. And ultimately, the first thing people see, as impressed as they can be by the bedding or tableware or whatever it is, the seat is what really takes them in. And we've noticed that. We talk about it all the time with Qatar. When you're on a Q-suite equipped aircraft, and you're sitting there during boarding, you hear people go by and go, wow, what is this?
This is a bedroom.
Yeah. And of course, all the Americans go, wow, look at this first class.
Jerry, did you see this?
Yeah. Wow. Does American Airlines have this? But
they do with the coach. Yeah.
Exactly. Not if you're flying to Philadelphia. But anyway, the point is, I think that there could have been at least a commitment. They don't have to put a timeline on it, but this is, again, I keep bringing up United as a great example on the podcast, because talk about an incredibly fast and efficient rollout of Polaris. Although we're years into this, you know, 7-8 years, their entire fleet of wide-body aircraft has this seat and has for over a year now. So,
and they have the whole redesigned service in order to match and deliver.
Although they've cut back on that a bit, but at least they have the seat that they've promised people. I think that people need to associate a seat with an airline. This is, again, why, for example, Emirates, SQ, they go for consistency. And now we have two airlines merging. The number one key needs to be consistency, not just of the soft product, but there needs to be a thread through the hard product, which hopefully we're going to see in the future, because that, I think, is what lies between Korean Air and being among these other players.
Final point on the event and on Korean. So the event, as we said, we stayed until quite late. We were one of the last there because we wanted to take in everything, and we had spent so much time on the aircraft. We then hadn't seen the tableware. Saw the tableware delivered by a really cool company called Buzz in Australia. And they're explaining how they've connected Armani. And then there was the caviar that is being added to first class in a redesigned way. And they had a bucket load of caviar there at the event. I mean, I think that was the biggest dish of caviar I've ever seen. And considering, you know, being based in the Middle East, but still seeing that here, I mean, that was really, really big. Also, I love the fact the chef was just taking a crisp, piling on a massive dollop.
He was like Oprah. You get caviar.
You get caviar. And of course, you're a vegan, so you don't eat caviar. So he was like, you get the chip.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Homemade chip.
I'll have his caviar. You, sir. And take it. First class. What we have been able to figure out through our discussions. Well, we know that, so Korean Air is going to introduce new first class suites starting in 2028. 8-ish. Yeah,
all things going well.
On 350s, 777s and 787s. And this is, again, how they hope to be able to compete with the likes of Qatar and Singapore and others. They said that it's much, you know, required, blah, blah, blah. So we know that some Asian carriers have a funny relationship with first class, or how or where they send it, or if it is true first class or business class or whatever. But we know that it is going to be first class of only 2 rows on the aircraft.
Which tells us, unlike, for example, Starlux, which made a huge deal out of launching first class.
Starlux of Taiwan.
Of Taiwan. Yeah. But ultimately, it's really like a business class plus. Yeah. Although the soft product is amazing, the ground experience, the seat is not what you would expect from an airline like Starlux. The fact that we have this exclusive, that there will be 2 rows of first class, at least that's what they're planning now, tells us it's not business class plus.
Yeah.
Perhaps if it's on a 777, it could be, because there could be 2 business class cabins. But hopefully what he meant by that is we have 2 rows of real seats, which would be exciting. And it goes back to, I feel like so much we're discussing today goes back to just last week or the week before what we've discussed. Because we literally just spoke about how first class, it seemed like it was going away, but it's having a resurgence.
It's having a resurgence, but airlines are figuring out how to do it cost effectively.
Yeah.
While splashing the cash on the product itself, right?
Yeah.
And gone are the days of 7 rows of first class or even 4 rows.
Yeah,
it's like
exactly.
You're getting 2.
Yeah, but it also, you know, it goes back to this thing of a halo effect. And airlines have realized that by having a first class that is truly, you know, Instagram worthy,
yeah,
sticks out and is really a point of attention for the airline, it creates a halo that makes everyone think the whole airline is premium. And although business class, of course, doesn't have the seat, maybe this reflects a little bit on how premium the business class is as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it will be really exciting to see what they launch. We hope it's good.
Yeah.
I know Cathay Pacific is launching their first class soon.
So who have we got launching new first coming up? We've got Cathay Pacific. We
Air
now
France.
Have Korean.
Yeah.
Air France. Maybe more on that very, very soon.
Singapore Airlines.
Singapore Airlines with a new first class.
On the XLR, which is crazy.
Wow. Qatar Airways.
Yeah.
New first class in the works. From what I have heard, that's going to be big.
Nice. I think this is, I mean, we have
maybe
some on
the
horizon.
Maybe this is where the listeners jump in. I mean, yeah. There's one airline I can think of right now, but I don't know if they've told anyone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, okay, we have.
So I don't want to jump the gun yeah. with them.
Well, then we have those we know.
I might send a text message. I'm going to text right now, and if they reply why we are...
To the airline.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let me just fill in while you do that.
Go on.
That, of course, we have Qantas and Swiss also introducing first class that we already know. We've already seen it. And then, of course, we're probably forgetting some, but we need to move on because we have limited time and so much we want to talk about. Another, obviously, huge piece of news for especially US-based listeners, but even listeners elsewhere that just happened to visit the U.S., is that Southwest, really a darling of the U.S. airline industry yeah. and of people, especially
respected, yeah, loved.
And literally loved, that's the right word. You have people who are fans of Delta, but Southwest for so long has been loved.
I've just realized the link between Korean Air and Southwest.
They want to be the world's most loved.
One of them is loved.
Yeah.
The other one wants to be the world's most loved.
I know. Right. You know, Korean Air saw an opening there.
Yeah. No. They were like, Southwest is the most American loved carrier.
Yeah.
Let's take it global.
Exactly. Yeah. And also, Southwest will no longer be because,
no,
along with a massive number of other changes, including completely redesigning their industry unique seat assignment structure, where you don't have seat assignments, instead your order of boarding is determined by when you check in, and then once you board you get to choose whichever seat is available. That is gone now. They have seat assignments just like any other airline in the US. But of course, the huge unique thing about Southwest post COVID and before, but especially post-COVID, now that other airlines...
Since the airline's existence, right?
Yes, but we should just mention that I'm saying post-COVID because all other U.S. airlines removed change fees, which was another unique thing that only Southwest had before.
Okay.
But still, while other U.S. carriers charge $25 a bag to check in, mm-hmm. Southwest has always allowed each passenger to bring two free checked bags,
which
even
is
on the cheapest fare.
Unheard of. In
yeah.
Do you know the amount of times until today I would get asked about this and would check thinking, that can't still be the policy, right? I mean, we can't be in 2025, can we? And a passenger on a the fare could be $9.
Yeah, yeah.
And they still operate that model where if you go to the airport, it can be $9. Anyway,
exactly.
Go on, yeah, tell us.
But let's be fair.
Yeah.
Southwest never had $9 fares. They're not Ryanair. So
were you not able to go and get a $10 fare at the airport if you bought it at the airport just pre-COVID?
I never did that. So maybe some people did, but Southwest is definitely, you know, yes, they inspired Ryanair, but they are no Ryanair price-wise. And even, they're a, quote, low-cost airline.
Yeah.
But in fact, their prices are always comparable to the US
On par with the
three.
US 3. Okay.
So
what have they done?
So now they have cut their two free bags, going from two to zero included bags on their discounted fares, which, along with all these other changes, makes Southwest just another U.S.
Just another
carrier.
Airline.
But Southwest, unlike Delta, United, even American, does not have first class, which, again, although U.S. domestic first class doesn't quite have this halo effect.
Really? We haven't heard your opinions on U.S. premium cabins. The listeners would
they
love to hear.
They are incredible. They are loved worldwide.
Go on.
Southwest does not have that. And they also, of course, they have a lot of credit card users. But for Delta, United, especially, credit cards are the biggest part of their revenue. Mm. So I think Southwest has sort of just pressed delete on everything that makes them unique. And now they're, you know, just trying to survive as a regular airline, which I wish them luck with, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
It's
I have a reply.
Wow. Let's hear. He says no.
No. No, okay. We haven't announced yet. Please do not mention it on the podcast.
What a tease. Okay, guys, now you need to DM Alex.
I'm going to reply saying too late. then they will be forced to
Okay, I'm going to say listen. It. It's Tag Angola.
It's not.
Just
but
joking.
If they are, we're
no,
here for it.
No one's waiting for their new first class.
No, not even us.
No, not even. So that's Southwest. I love how we always cover U.S. airlines for like a minute. We're like, that's that. Let's move on.
Well, because they tend to do these sporadic, this was great.
Yeah.
We're not doing it anymore.
Yeah,
next.
And that's just like...
I want to quickly bring us to Europe. Air France KLM are putting in a bid to acquire a 51% stake in Air Europa. A 51% stake is about 300 million euros. In euros? Yes, euros.
Yeah.
Taking on 475 million euros of the airline's debt, which is owed to the Spanish government. A lot of that is because of the pandemic and the way in which they were able to survive. The funny part, of course, is that it now pins Air France KLM against Lufthansa, which is also trying to pick up Air Europa, because IAG, the other European big group, is ultimately not going to be doing it anymore. We've spoken about how they cancelled the whole arrangement. They wasted a lot of money on trying to pursue Air Europa, and it never ended up happening due to a whole bunch of reasons, not least because the whole thing was shelved in the early 2020s. And then after that, when they did want to complete the deal, there were regulatory concerns over competition. They didn't think it was in the interest of consumers. We discussed that. Actually, you can scroll back, guys, to an episode or two where we discussed if these kind of mergers and acquisitions or in the interest of you, the consumer, and how very often it isn't. Some case it is purely case by case. So now IAG are out the picture with Air Europa.
Which is good, because we don't need
another Iberia.
No.
Right, another Iberia don't. Express, another Air Nostrum or whatever. I mean, they still have a 20% stake in them, but they are not able to do anything with that, really, other than just some return of investment. So now it leaves it as second options to Air France KLM or Lufthansa, it looking like potentially Air France KLM might be in a better position, and it might be a bit more attractive for Air Europa as well, not least because of the SkyTeam link and everything there. what do we think? The bit that I don't understand with this, and I'll be interested to hear, is how is it that Air France, KLM, or Lufthansa have been able to come to the assessment that their acquisition of Air Europa will pass regulatory and competition hurdles where they will be able to demonstrate that they are in the interest of consumer, something that IAG were not able to do. It's the same passengers. It's the same consumers, Europe.
So my thing is this. Air Europa is actually profitable.
Yeah.
They're a small airline, just 43 or 44 aircraft. Why does everyone have to keep... Okay, listen.
Why no more standalone carriers?
Yeah, like we've spoken about this, how this is the inevitable direction of the industry. But now, I know I've been like this in the entire history of this podcast. I've been like, yay, Air France, KLM. Like,
you are,
invest here, invest
there. Today,
when
we were in the car on our way here, I was like, you can lead on the Air France, KLM thing, given it's very much your scope.
Literally. But now, all of a sudden, I'm like, actually, I don't want this because we've seen what's happened with SAS. Mm. It has become... So granted, the difference here with Air Europa is that they're already in SkyTeam.
Yeah.
So nothing will be changing in that regard. But Air France KLM, just like Lufthansa Group, just rob passengers when it comes to pricing.
Yeah.
Unlike IAG. And I don't think we need another airline that is fine on its own under this umbrella of ripping people off.
When an average passenger is going to bring up Skyscanner, you know, the beauty of the fact that if it's a route where both, for example, Air France operate, Transavia operate, and Air Europa operate, at least your Air Europa result is completely detached and independent of what is above you. The moment they are swooped into the group, you're going to get the same price three times. And you're going to conclude, oh, it costs €450 to travel domestically across France.
Yeah, it's just crazy. I mean, I'm looking at some Air France, or I have been looking at some Air France flights for next week. And the fares for the past month, I've been tracking them, are just literally three times what even BA would be charging on comparable routes.
Yeah.
Although they're not competing in this case, but that is why I would still rather see Air France KLM invest than Lufthansa Group, because we know that Lufthansa Group rips the heart and soul out of airlines it invests in to a large extent.
Mm.
But I still think this is not really exciting, especially Lufthansa Group's bid is actually more generous for the percentage they're offering. They're offering 25% for $240 million, while Air France KLM wants to offer just $60 million more, $300 million in total for
a majority
51,
stake. Yeah.
Which is actually, I don't know like how that's even a legitimate bid, but in any case,
valuation.
Lufthansa Group is already, they have acquired ITA Airways and they're buying a stake in AirBaltic. It's like, let's slow down a little bit here, guys. We've seen the U.S. where airlines, you know, are basically operating in an oligopoly.
Yeah.
And I don't think we want that in Europe. So again, although we maybe don't fly them that much anymore, we need to be thankful for the likes of Ryanair, EasyJet, for still being there to keep fares down to some extent. So on that note, guys, we are compiling questions for a special Q&A episode in the future. So don't worry that we're not answering Q&A today because we have limited time here in the studio. But we just really wanted to get you the latest news on the Korean Air.
Before we wrap, I want to read this. Okay.
Just so the airline CEO going, Alex, block my number. No.
It's not a comment. It's not a question. It's a comment. And I think it's the perfect thing to end on. Okay, ready? So it's from Chris. He says, just came back from a similar view, he replied to me, about my story of landing in Korea, but I was flying Finnair from Helsinki to Bangkok. Flying back in business, so bittersweet ending to a holiday, there was a guy from Gothenburg in the row in front of us, and he did not shut up the entire way. It wasn't Dan.
Oh, okay.
He was talking to two American girls, and he said he has flown Finnair for 10 years, and the American girls asked, surprised, there are no direct flights from Gothenburg to Bangkok. He said, my girlfriend and I, loyal listeners of the podcast, just looked at each other and burst out laughing, thinking of you and Dan.
Oh my God, I love that so much.
But these delusional American girls think that Gothenburg is worthy of a nonstop flight to Bangkok.
And by the way, there's not a single flight from the entire United States of America direct to Bangkok. So let's put that out there before we come and criticize Gothenburg.
What okay? a valid save. Yeah. Oh, you were ready. You were ready. Yeah. I like that.
I mean, those girls don't know what they're talking about. Anyway, long live Gothenburg. May we get direct flights to Bangkok and anywhere else that is relevant.
I'm pleased to be with you here in Seoul, in Korea, doing the podcast live, following that fun event yesterday and all the soaking up of Korean culture that we have been doing thus far.
Yes, kamsahamnida, guys. And on that note, we will see you all next week on air. Bye-bye.
See you later.
Everyone's talking about AI these days, right? This season on Compiler, we're diving deep into how AI is reshaping the world we live in. Join us for a new season of Compiler, an original podcast from Red Hat. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the difference between DIY and doing it yourself? It's the difference between a part-time passion and a full-time business. Wix gives you the power to turn your passion into a moneymaker. With a website that fits your unique vision and the business tools you need to succeed. Let your ideas flow with AI that guides you, but keeps you in the driver's seat. Manage your business from one dashboard and keep it growing with built-in marketing features. It's time to turn your daydream into your dream job. Do it yourself. Go to Wix.com.